Today's title is Faith Over Sin and the Devil, to Walk in Purity and Sanctification. We have been talking about faith for the last several weeks. We've talked about seed faith, the faith that's able to get you saved, that God has attributed to each and every one of us. And under the right conditions, we receive Christ as Lord and Savior, which lays the foundation of our spiritual lives. We also have talked about faith. It's not something that is ethereal. It is something practical to us. It must be exercised in order for it to grow. And by that, we talked about the authority of God's Word. It's what we're supposed to feed our spiritual men and women in. That is our nourishment. Last week we talked about faith and mental ascension. Basically what I said, that faith is reading the Word of God and applying it. Mental ascension is reading the Word of God and not applying it. Okay? God has given to each one of us His Word. And today we're going to start. Take out your swords. Father, I have your word, and I know it's true. I am what it says I am. I have everything it says I have. And I can do everything it says I can do. In Jesus' name, amen. And we started this trek because the Holy Spirit has stirred in my heart that we're not to make this declaration a session of parrot words. The important thing is that God is closing a door that we will no longer be a part of. Scripture says it is from faith to faith. We are going on to another degree of faith. And so He has to close this door so that our faith won't look back at Egypt. It will look to the future, which is where we're at. My concern in that is most Christians read the Word of God, but they don't understand that it's faith. Everything operates in the kingdom by faith. They don't know who they are in Jesus Christ. So it's an identity crisis that the church has. And it seems like if the world describes to us who we are, then that's who we are. And I'm here to tell you today, only the Word of God tells us who we are. Okay? After that, we have to believe by faith that God has made provision for every part of our lives. We need to understand that once He has made provision in our lives, it is our responsibility to find it and appropriate it into our lives. That takes faith. And the last thing is, it has to do with service. And what we need to understand is that we're not here just to sit in pews, chairs, whatever. We're here to serve one another, to expand the kingdom of God, and it requires all these steps in order for us to function properly in this. And so what we're talking about today basically is what Christ has done on the cross for us and our responsibility today to walk in purity and in sanctification. Amen? What is sin? Who could tell me what sin is? Real simple. It's not a... missing a mark. What else? You and I will... we'll go out for lunch. That was a good answer. It's anything that opposes God's will. When we set to do our will, we miss the mark. And that is really true. Who is the devil? He's our enemy. See, these are Bible 101 things. You should know this stuff. It's a fallen archangel. Okay, there is a difference. A fallen archangel is a position of power and authority that he was given. And yet he took that power and position and he tried to construe it for his own and not for God. He is our enemy. What is purity? Simple. Simple. Anybody, come on. Moral goodness, yeah. Spiritual cleanliness, yeah. What's sanctification? You're enjoying this. Sanctification. What is sanctification? Set apart for what? Set apart for God's purposes, His plans. You see, He's got a plan for each one of our lives. We just don't want that. It is the process in which we go through to achieve holiness. God says, I want you to be holy as I'm holy. Okay? Turn to Psalm 119:11. We should all know this scripture. Like I said, I'm not a chapter verse guy. But I know this scripture. Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. People don't want to read God's word. Because in reading God's word, we come face to face with who we are. It's true. The Bible's the only book I know that describes us in all our lack of glory, lack of splendor, lack of purity. And people don't want that. But we have to take His word. And the only way I know to hide it in your heart is to make it applicable into your life immediately. Whatever God says, we do. That way it becomes part of us. David says here that he read His word. He has His word. He hid His word so that we don't sin against God. He wasn't rebellious. He was known as a man after God's own heart. How shall you be known? Woman after God's heart? Man after God's heart? Or, I existed. God didn't answer my prayers. No, God answered your prayers. You see, where we're going is we're going to take His word. We're going to take His word. And we're going to apply His word. Why? Because it will take greater faith to apply His word than the salvation faith. Just like the revelation of pray for one another that you may be healed. We get to pray for one another, but we don't get the second part. And so we're going to take apart these scriptures to make it applicable to our lives each and every day so that we can grow. Before we knew the Lord, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were prisoners to the devil who held us under bondage. We were born to be rebellious against the law of God, yet God gave us His law to show us that we are incapable of keeping it. The more we tried to do God's law, the worse our condition became because we sinned against it. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not have any other gods. And we're all guilty. Because Jesus said the word is good and healthy and it is spiritual. It deals with our spirits to a place where He gave us two laws in which streams operates from, and that is to love God with all our heart, strength, soul, and mind, and to love one another. Love one another. Because we have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, we only can come to the conclusion that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. But not everyone has received Jesus Christ. You see, what we're going to learn in the days, weeks, and years ahead is that you can't have salvation by just receiving Jesus as your Savior. You see, there was an exchange that happened. There was an exchange that happened on the cross. And that exchange was, you gave up your life, He took your sin. He took your sin to give you His life. Which means, He's Lord. We are sold under bondage to Him. Which really means He has set us free. And the devil will spend a lot of time trying to remind us of our past. We need to start reminding him of his future. Do you know what his future is? Do you know what your future is? You see, this is about identity. I am what it says I am. I can stand there and tell the devil exactly where he's going, because God says what happens. I've read the end of the book. And I know our victory is complete. This world may fall apart around us, but we're not going to take any aspect of this world with us into the next one. It's all going to stay here. We're going to receive new bodies. And when we receive new bodies, we will fully understand, because we will be like Him and we will behold Him as He is. It's hard for some people to believe that we are supernatural beings. But that's what Scripture says we are. That's what Jesus has done. And for too long, many believe that purity and sanctification are synonymous. They are not. Purity doesn't necessarily equate to holiness. But sanctification does. How can I say that? Real simple. That which is sanctified must be pure. Must. We must go through this process of sanctification. That's called baptism of fire. Where God burns the dross off of our lives, and He pours more of Himself into us. And as we walk in these ways, something wonderful happens. We actually realize what our freedoms are. We appropriate the promises of God. We're in the situations that we're in because we haven't done what God has said to do. But in that, He doesn't condemn us. What He does, He gives us a way of escape. And in that way of escape, we have a chance to repent, which means change your mind, turn away from that stuff, and do it His way. He's the God of second chances. He's the God of third, fourth chances. But we have to go through this process. This isn't just for the faint of heart. This is for the body of Jesus Christ. The world is not going to go through this. Only God's people. Turn to Ephesians 5, please. God tells us and reveals this process of sanctification to us in a real practical sense. Ephesians 5, we'll start at verse 25. And it is, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word, and to present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way," in other words, what he's saying is, just like what Christ did, now it's your turn. "In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one has ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of His body. As we read and give ourselves to the Word, there is a cleansing, a purification that occurs. We wrestle with the Holy Spirit because there is sin that is still in our lives. We still want to do what we want to do. But the more we appropriate God's Word and get washed by it, the cleaner we become. That is the process. When we read the Word, what happens is there is the contaminants of this world are washed clean from us. And we're contaminated. That's why we go each and every day and spend time before God. Some of us a couple times a day. I start my day with the Lord. I end my day with the Lord. I want to be cleaned of all the contaminants so I can serve God. That doesn't make me more spiritual. It just makes me a little more mature. That's all. I've understood these things. I understood that when I get into His Word and I appropriate it and it becomes part of me, I'm not going to offend God. I'm not going to sin against God. I'm not going to allow the influences of the world contaminate me so I compromise my relationship with God. It doesn't matter. I know what God says. I know what He has done for me, and I'm not going to treat it less than what He has done for me. I understand where I came from. I understand what He saved me from. I understand what He has redeemed in my life. To a point that we celebrate 41 years tomorrow. And I could have lost it because if I still wanted what I wanted, I wouldn't have what God wants for me. Psalm 17:4 says, "As for the deeds of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept myself from the ways of the violent." What he's saying here is, I'm not going to be influenced by other people's words or intent. I'm not going to allow toxicity of relationships to affect me because that toxicity of those relationships contaminates me. It affects me. But when I go into God's Word, I don't allow that stuff to affect me. There is kind of like this supernatural bubble that I put myself in that God protects me. And He sets me free to walk in these things. Now understand too that in order for me to remain free, I have to begin to discern what is good for me. What is good for me? What is good for you? God has already determined this. Sometimes we get involved in human activities and social affairs that on the outside it looks good. But if our conditions are enhanced by staying in that, we won't go through the process. In other words, if a person who's a drug addict gets saved by God, would it make sense for him to go back into his community of drug addicts and try to win them? Why not? He'll fall back into it. Right. So what we have to do is we have to hear what God says to keep ourselves away from that stuff. They are contaminants to us. If we're in relationships that are bad, I'm not talking about marriage. I'm just talking about interpersonal relationships that are bad. Then we have to make some hard choices. Am I going to honor God, who wants to work in me and through me to touch people's lives? Or am I going to allow that toxicity of that relationship to manipulate and control me to a point that somewhere down the line, I regret giving up my relationship to God because my situation by the toxicity of this relationship takes over my life. We have to understand that there are snares, there are traps that the enemy throws out. They look good, they look fine. But the problem in that is they are traps and they are snares. They're all designed to bring us back into the bondage that Jesus Christ set us free from. Even the traditions of the church, and some of us have come from different walks of it, God's word supersedes the traditions of the church. How can I say that? God's word is what the church has to adhere to, not we adhere to what the church says, misinterpreting what God says. There are certain things that are good. Like we can have a beef and root beer time together. But a beef and beer is not a good thing. And I know there are churches that do this. Why? Because alcohol is a depressant. People suffer from depression. Why give yourself to that spirit just so you can have a good time? God doesn't do that to us. We need to value authority of God's word. Turn to Revelation 12, verse 11. If we understand that it takes faith to begin to get rid of this stuff, every hard decision that we make in order to obey God's word is a purging, is a purification. We should want the things of God like we want the next breath of air that we take. Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and he did not love their lives so much as to shrink back from death." You've heard me say this. This is the reality that we're moving to. This is the faith issues that we need to understand, that in order to get involved, there's going to be warfare. And Satan hates us. Satan wants nothing more than to kill us and then accuse us before God the Father. But God has given us the victory in Jesus Christ. We try to fight this battle outside the realms of the cross. We do. And I'm here to tell you that everything that's here is a spiritual weaponry that we have. He describes who our enemy is. Him. He overcame him. The devil. How? By the blood of the Lamb. Jesus was our atonement. He is the sacrificial lamb for our sins. He died on the cross. His blood was poured out. He took his blood. He went into the heavenly sanctuary and presented it, and God accepted it. There is no more condemnation or guilt for our sins once you find yourself in Jesus Christ. The enemy can tell you only about your past, but you can tell him what his future is. You have the power and authority to make that decision come true. The blood speaks of the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, if you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation for you. God has forgotten your sin and my sin, thrown it far away to set us free, to let us become that which He has called for us to become. The Word speaks of giving us the understanding. That's why we're in the Word. It gives us the understanding as to what Christ's blood purchased for us. Not only are we clean from the guilt and shame and the sin, it provides something for us. He didn't just provide salvation and forgiveness for us. He provided us a better covenant. And only can you go into the Word to find out what has been provided. All the promises from Adam to Jesus Christ is contained in Jesus Christ. They're for us. All of them. Do you know what they are? Because you see, these promises are only for the heirs of the kingdom. They are not for the world. And if you don't know what you have, I would say it's about time to find out, because you can't say, I am what it says I am, I have everything it says I have, and have faith. You need to exercise your faith so you understand who you are in Jesus Christ, and then exercise your faith so you know what has been provided for you in Jesus Christ. It's no different than being a citizen of the United States. If you don't know what the Constitution has provided for you, you'll let the politicians run ramshot all over you. And they are. They do not adhere to the Constitution in the United States because the Antichrist spirit is influencing them. But I can tell you, without a shadow of a doubt, that what has been provided for us, everything is yea and amen in Jesus Christ. Everything. You need to learn how to appropriate it. That's all. Testimony. What is our testimony? Our testimony speaks concerning the blood and victory of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ didn't just give us a partial victory. He didn't just save us so that we could still get our brains beat in by the enemy. He gave us a complete victory. He made an open showing before all the enemies of God. He took them from here and he paraded them through the streets of heaven. You are no longer under it, you're over it. And you need to get over yourself as to what you did in the past. The past is the past. You can't change it. But you can make and speak a new future. And that's what God wants. He wants us to speak His Word. We as the people of God must go through this process, this purification process called sanctification. Everything that we give, we receive, I would say, 100-fold more. Everything. I can remember the times when Irene and I first got saved and we were in financial plight. We took the kids, we sat down on our knees and we just asked God to forgive us for doing our thing with his money. And we knew that we were forgiven. We knew that He was hearing us. And then we made a bold statement. We will do what Your Word tells us to do. We committed to the tithe. Although we couldn't see how that was going to be beneficial since we were in dire straits. But some of the things that happened was God provided overtime when there was no overtime. There was extra coming in. That way I could give more. I began to understand how this process works. The more I surrender, the more I get. The more I give away, the more I receive. I can't outgive God. I'm just learning some of these principles that God gives to me. When He's giving blessings to me, I begin to have my mind renewed. I look at things differently. I speak differently. I act differently. I'm a son of the King, and so are you. Ladies, you're not sons, you're daughters of the Most High. But you have to see yourself as this. He died on the cross to lift you from the sewers to put you in a high, exalted position. And that's where you are. And a lot of times, what happens is, we don't believe it. It's too incredulous. So we'll accept salvation, and if we're lucky, we get the crumbs of the kingdom. But the only way that I know to sit down to supper is to make Him Lord. Because He tells me, in the midst of my enemies, He has prepared a table for me. He wants to feed us and lavish on us in front of them. He wants to brag on you and you and you and you and you about what He's doing through you. And you know what He does? He does that even now without you realizing it. Because you're His kid. Jesus said something that was really pretty cool. He said, you being evil. You know where I'm going. You being evil know how to give good gifts to your kids. And we do, right? We try. He says, you wouldn't give them a serpent for bread. You wouldn't give them a rock for something to eat, right? You give them something to sustain them. How much greater is our Father who will give to us His Holy Spirit if you ask? You ask for the Holy Spirit. This is so remedial. It's, but God is really has this compulsion within me. That when we receive Jesus Christ and He lays out this foundation for our lives, do you not understand that all three of the Godhead now dwells in us, dwells in our spirit? And He wants to clean out the junk that's in our spirits that have been contaminated by the world, by the lust of our hearts, the lust of our eyes, the pride of life. He wants to clean that all out because it doesn't matter. And we wrestle so hard to control, to keep control of our lives. And He wants to set us free. We are destined to be created into the image of Jesus Christ. We have God's divine nature in us. And we now have a personal tutor, the Holy Spirit, who will teach us and educate us how that happens. But we have to get rid of stuff that He instructs us that He wants done. And I've heard it through the years. People say, well, I have to give all this. No, you give away what God wants to deal with you in. That's all. If all He's saying, give up smoking. And we know people that instantaneously gave up smoking. And they were healed. Delivered from it. Instantaneous. We know people received healing. Instantaneous. Because they surrendered to God. They started doing what God has said. Sanctification separates us from the sin, separates us from all the unclean and perverted distractions of this world. And when we surrender ourselves to Jesus Christ, we are now being formed into the very image of Jesus Christ. They see less of me, and my wife knows what type of person I was when we first got started. And God's not done getting rid of the junk. I'm going through this process so I can continuously bring Him honor and glory and praise because He's the one doing it. I'm incapable of it. And check out the scriptures. Romans 8:29, Romans 12:1 and 2, Hebrews 12:10, 1 Peter 1:15 through 16, 2 Peter 1:3 and 4. They talk about our victory. They talk about the weaponry that we have to defeat the enemy. They talk about the freedom that we have to use God's word against the devil. And that's what we need to do. We need to start using the word of God. As I said a couple of weeks ago, it's interesting how Jesus spoke the word. It is written. And Satan didn't say anything. He took it. He knew that it was true. If you know the Word of God and you understand and recognize the temptation that is set before you, use the Word of God against it. Remember, in that time of temptation, He gives us a way of escape. We don't have to capitulate to the pressures of this world. We don't have to conform to the people of this world to be accepted. We're already accepted in the Beloved. We already have our identity in Him. We're already accepted by God. We are His children. And the more we submit, the more we make Him Lord of every aspect of our lives, the more the sanctification process transforms us. So what can I say? Sanctification is the process each and every one of us has to go through. We must go through it. And it'll continue on until the day we die. But it also requires faith. It requires the faith. We need to have this faith, because only by then, according to Ephesians 5, when we're presented individually to Jesus Christ, will He accept us. He won't accept us any other way. And we know the parables that talk about those who try to get into the wedding feast by their own means. 2, cleansing is the process we go through as we read and study and apply the Word of God into our lives by faith. There isn't 20 steps to do this. It's just read the Word and obey. Paul Youngie Cho, or actually David Youngie Cho, said, "I pray and obey." That's the secret. Real easy. I pray and obey. The victory of Christ at the cross dealt a death blow to the power of sin over us and unshackled us from the control of the devil to keep us in bondage. Christ's victory has provided total freedom, not a partial freedom, a total freedom as we accept it as our own. And when we accept it as our own, it empowers us to remain free from the traps and snares of life. The more we read and study God's Word and live by faith, victory is more pronounced, because we have the blood, the Word, and the Spirit that empowers us. The choice is yours. I'm going to take Joshua's statement. It's for me and my house, we're going to serve God. He's not a tyrant. He's not a dictator. He's a lover of my soul. And I won't apologize for what He has done in my life and what He has given to me. From those looking on the outside in, they may think that this is easy. You're the pastor. This is 31 years of walking with God and allowing Him to take over areas of my life. Why? Because I like being married to my wife. If I was still doing it my way, I wouldn't have been married to her. God called me to serve, but I had to learn to serve my wife before I could serve you. Today, we have a real need for men to start rising up. There's this effemination of manhood that is an outcry of allowing the Leviathan spirit to wrap around and strangle us and try to kill us as a nation, as a people. Not here. Not here. We're about raising men, men of God. Women released to be who they have been called to fulfill the dispersion of the blessings. That means I do my job, they do their job. And with that, there is a harmony, a unity that is birthed from it. Only God can do this. When we start to think that we can help Him, we get in trouble. Believe me, I've learned. I try to help Him. A lot of times I got spanked. I don't want that for you. I don't want it for Streams. I want us to affect our community. I want it to affect our state that we live in. I want it to affect the country that we live in. I want Streams to go to the nations. But I can't want it more than you. We have to want it equally. We have to want what God wants for our lives. And it starts by giving up the things that He wants so that we can begin to start building our lives. Amen?